Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 7, day 4 of our study of the book of Daniel. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're looking at Daniel 8, verses 23 through 27. Well, welcome back to the 10-week Bible study. I am your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're going to be finishing Daniel chapter 8, where we're giving the interpretation, we're being given the interpretation of this vision that Daniel had by the angel Gabriel. Before we jump into that, would you join me as we pray before we get started today? Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us? Oh, speak to us, touch us, and fill us with the knowledge of you. We want to know you more, not just more about you. We don't want more information. We want deeper relationship with you. Fill us. Fill us to overflowing with you. Make us like Daniel, that your Holy Spirit would be living inside of us and others would see it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Before we jump into God's word today, if you would like to get occasional updates. I don't send them out very often, but I do send them out from time to time. If you'd like to get updates from me, you can head over to my website, darrenhibbs.com or 10weekbible.com and sign up for my mailing list to be on my newsletter mailing list. Again, I don't spam people. I don't sell the emails on there and I don't send them out very often, but I do send them out when I feel like I have something to share. With that, let's jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. As always, this is Daniel chapter 8, starting in verse 23. In the latter part of their reign, when rebels have become completely wicked, a fierce-looking king, a master of intrigue, will arise. He will become very strong, but not by his own power. He will cause astounding devastation and will succeed in whatever he does. He will destroy those who are mighty, the holy people. He will cause deceit to prosper, and he will consider himself superior. When they feel secure, he will destroy many and take his stand against the prince of princes. Yet he will be destroyed, but not by human power. So this is, again, talking about the time of the end, not just Antiochus Epiphanes, Antiochus the Fourth. It's talking about the Antichrist in the time of the end. Jesus tells us that the Antichrist will be able to perform signs and miracles and all this stuff, intrigue, and that he would deceive even the elect if that were possible. He said the deception in the end times will be so great that even the saints would turn and follow him if that were possible. So he's saying it's not possible, but it's going to be so great that it's going to be mind-blowing. And so this Antichrist here, he's going to arise because of intrigue and deceit. And it's going to be a time, again, when the rebels have become completely wicked. The sinners, the lost, those who rebel against God have become completely wicked. Paul describes this in the New Testament. He says before the end, before Jesus returns, the lawless one has to be revealed. His word for the Antichrist. And he says, before that comes, when the Antichrist is revealed, the restrainer will be taken away. In other words, the Holy Spirit acting upon all humanity and keeping them from doing what's really in their heart, murdering each other, destroying each other, doing every kind of violence to other human beings imaginable. The Holy Spirit is actually keeping people from doing that right now. You know, Jesus tells us that, you know, if you hate your brother, it's the same as murder, because what's actually in your heart is the murder. And the only thing keeping you from killing, literally killing other people, is that there's a Holy Spirit restraint on believers and unbelievers from carrying that out. But there's coming a day, Paul tells us, when the restrainer will be taken away and people will kill each other. That hate that stirs and brews inside their hearts, they will be given over to it. There will be no more guilt. There will be nothing internally keeping them from killing others because the Holy Spirit will be taken away from them. That restraint. I believe that's what we're talking about here, is these rebels are going to become completely wicked. It is the Holy Spirit and only the Holy Spirit that keeps the unsaved people of the earth from annihilating each other at any moment. And there's coming a day where that will happen. It's made very clear in many places in Scripture, especially Revelation, and in the end times, people will turn on each other and kill each other with no fear of retribution, apparently. This one is going to, again, like we saw in chapter 7, he's going to make war against God's holy people and win. And win. Ah, don't like that. But he will be destroyed. And it's not going to be because of someone else. It's because of Jesus coming back to the earth. He will be destroyed by God. And again, not by human power. He's getting thrown in the lake of fire 1,000 years before anyone else. Let's continue. Verse 26. The vision of the evenings and mornings that has been given you is true, but seal up the vision, for it concerns the distant future. Again, we're not looking at something that's going to happen in a couple hundred years from Daniel's time. Actually, not even that long, I don't believe. We're not looking at Antiochus the IV as the fulfillment of this revelation. It's almost like he is the down payment of this revelation, but he's not the fulfillment. The fulfillment is a long way off. And again, the 2300 days, there's people that will tell you they know exactly what that means. Maybe one of them is right, but I cannot tell you what the 2300 days is. That is a very unique number in the annals of end times prophecy and revelation. We've got the 3.5 years. We've got the 7 years. We've got the additional 30 days tacked on to the end of the 1260 days. We've got the 1335 days. And if all of these numbers and names and things like that are new to you, I encourage you to go back and either pick up the 10-week Bible study on Revelation or go and listen to the podcast on the book of Revelation, because I go into detail into all of those numbers there. Those are somewhat clear. This one is very unique and not as clear. So again, there are people out there who say they understand, who say they know exactly what those number of days are. Maybe one or two of them are right. I don't know. I know that a lot of people have used these numbers and all of these things to predict the day that Jesus is returning. And up to now, every single one of them has been wrong. Using Daniel as your guide to predict the day of Jesus' return is a fool's errand. And when people tell you they know, don't chase after them. That's his own words. Jesus' own words is don't, when they say, hey, it's here or it's there, it's in a field, don't run after them. Don't run after them. All of these things that I told you have to happen, they are going to happen before I return. So when someone just tells you that Jesus is here, or the Messiah has come, or this has happened, it's like, don't listen. Don't run out. Don't get your panties in a wad, so to speak. Don't get bothered by that. Just know that all of these things, and this is in Matthew 24 and 25, I believe, where he's telling all of the signs. He also speaks about them in Luke. All of these things are going to happen before I return. And so don't get bothered by, you know, the people that say, hey, you know, Jesus is 88 reasons, Jesus is coming back in 1988 and all that kind of stuff. So many people have gotten this wrong and they will continue to get it wrong. Now, I mean, if you just play the numbers, if someone predicts that Jesus is coming back every single day until from now until eternity, someone's going to be right just on accident. Someone's going to be right at some point. So just because they even get it right doesn't mean they get it right for the right reasons. So when you're looking at this and someone uses this to say, hey, this is when Jesus is coming back, sell all your possessions and move to a cave in Montana, I encourage you not to do it. Keep your house, keep your family, continue moving on. You know, a lot of people through the years have, because of a fear of the end times, have decided not to have children, not to, you know, do this or, you know, buy houses or property and all that kind of, people have been so worried that the end times might happen and be so disruptive to normal life that they choose to disengage from normal life. And I encourage you, don't ever do that. Don't do that. Even if we walk through the end times, you need to continue living normal life. You need to continue having children and fellowshipping with Christians and doing all of the normal things that you would do. Just because the end times comes doesn't mean we like give up on living. In fact, and again, I go into this in more detail in Revelation, but when the end times comes, there's actually more of an onus. There's more responsibility on the part of believers to engage with people during the end times, because we know that at that point, the lost only have a short period of time before there is no hope of them ever receiving eternal life. So when these kinds of things happen, it's not our time to disengage. It's not our time to stop doing normal things. It's time to ramp it up. It's time to witness. It's time to give money to the poor. It's time to do all of the things that the Bible calls us to do. And now, right now is our time to make sure that we're practiced up on how to raise families well, on how to manage property and finances well, on how to fellowship in love with other believers and not get into jealousy and things like that in the church. It's our opportunity right now to learn to love one another so much that the lost will come to us and say, we want what you have. It's our opportunity right now to say, Lord, pour out your power, pour out revival so that the lost will come into the kingdom. It's our opportunity to learn those things right now so that under the pressure of the end times, if we have to walk through it, we'll hold up, we'll stand up in the midst of this bad guy having the authority to overcome us. Verse 27, I, Daniel, was worn out. I lay exhausted for several days. Then I got up and went about the king's business. I was appalled by the vision. It was beyond understanding. So when you read through this, and you're like, I don't get it, you're in good company. When you're troubled by things in the end times, you're in good company. All of these things are supposed to be troubling. They're supposed to be mysterious. The Lord laid it out that way. He didn't even give Daniel a full understanding of all of this. He tells Daniel, you know, about the days and all of that kind of stuff, seal it up. Just seal it up. Don't worry about it. Just write it down. And that's what it means, seal it up. Write it down and put it out of your mind, because it's not for you to understand. It is sealed up until the time of the end. The Lord is not going to give us clear revelation about all of these things until it's necessary. But he promises us here that when it's necessary, he's going to make it clear. He's going to tell us. He's telling Daniel, kind of like laying some stuff out there. This is what's going to happen. I don't expect you to understand it. I just want you to write it down. So for the people who it will happen, they'll know that I spoke about it beforehand. That's going to be important for the people that go through these events, that they know that the Lord spoke about it beforehand. And that's what this is about. And that's why I don't get all bogged down with trying to understand every little detail. That's why I encourage you not to. Just keep reading it. Keep poring over it. Let your heart become fascinated by it. Don't chase after people that write books that promise you when Jesus is coming back. Don't do that. Please. Oh God, please don't do that. And live your life in an honoring way. Don't pull back, as many people have done, from having children, getting married, buying property, having a good job, learning finances, engaging with your church, all of those things that I just talked about. Don't pull back from that. Give yourself fully into that. Engage with what the Lord has for you. Don't pull back from it. For the 10-week Bible study, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time.